Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Fall turns to winter, and with it, contenders become champions.
And the game is over! The game is over! Let the celebration begin!
But pretenders become exposed, and dreams will be dashed.
Fires into the end zone!
Georgia is on the mind of teams looking for a Super Bowl.
Welcome to Atlanta Sightseeing.
Ma'am, in this brochure, it says this tour is crump.
The road to glory is documented here.
But now is the time to work and strain at a sport that tests the spirit and challenges the brain.
It's Sunday Morning Football with your host, D.A., only on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Quicken Loan Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Happy Championship Sunday, everybody. We appreciate you being with us. And now we're down to four. The NFC Championship game, the first on the docket today at approximately 3 o'clock Eastern Time kick from the Mercedes-Benz Superdome in New Orleans. It's the Saints hosting the Los Angeles Rams in a 1-versus-2 matchup. And then, at approximately 6:40 Eastern Time, from Arrowhead Stadium, the number one-seeded Kansas City Chiefs taking on the two-seeded New England Patriots. Coming up this hour on the show, we'll hear from Rodney Harrison, who has won Super Bowls with the New England Patriots, looking ahead to today's matchups on both the NFC and AFC side. Plus, we've got your insiders. Hall of Famer Dan Fouts, Chiefs nose tackle Derek Nnadi, and Evan Washburn on the sidelines for CBS will all weigh in. We have got you completely covered over the next hour for Sunday Morning Football here on CBS Sports Radio. And a reminder, there's so many different ways you can listen and watch the show. Of course, across the great CBS Sports Radio Network, all of our wonderful affiliates, you can listen to us, as well as on Sirius XM, Channel 206. You can also listen to us on your phone, so stream us using CBS's sports app, or radio.com, or Apple Music. And you can watch us on any device. The simulcast is cooking as we speak at watchda.com. I'm thrilled for these two matchups. I think we have just got two instant classics potentially on the horn right now. Because you look at where the NFL is this year, you look at what the modern league looks like, it looks like this. It looks like high-powered offenses that open it up, that throw a lot, that look like the future of the NFL with strong-arm quarterbacks. And how wild is it that we have two future Hall of Famers? We know Tom Brady and Drew Brees are going to be in Canton. And they are facing off against two would-be's, two guys trying to ascend into stardom. I mean, Jared Goff and Patrick Mahomes are so young in their careers, if we had a Chiefs and Rams matchup, you'd have two of the youngest quarterbacks ever starting in the Super Bowl, 23 and 24 years old. So will it be the old Lions, the future Hall of Famers, the guys that have already won titles, or will it be the new kids, or a mixture of both? And when it comes to the best head coaches in the NFL, we've got three of the best and one guy who everybody's trying to emulate. Bill Belichick is the best coach in the NFL. Andy Reid and Sean Payton are two of the top five. And then I would say that Sean McVay is not in the top five just yet because it's only year number two for him, but will soon be there with a little bit more experience and seasoning. But in 2 years at the helm, he's led his team to two division championships and a playoff win and a spot in the NFC Championship game this year. Great coaches, big offenses, good quarterbacks, if not great quarterbacks. That is your winning combination in today's NFL. Quarterback head coach has always been so important, But because it's such a quarterback-dependent, reliant league today, it's not that surprising that these are the final four. We're coming in hot.
2-1, you've got a pair of bogeys, 12 o'clock.
They're doing 500 knots.
Roger, that's your bogey.
Airspeed is still increasing.
Wood, you got them?
Not yet, I can't see them. They must be close.
Yeah, attention, air control. Someone tell DA he's coming in hot. This is CBS Sports Radio, over.
I believe one of the most exciting things to have watched in pro football over the last decade or so was this year's Patrick Mahomes. I'm comparing this to the 1984 Dan Marino season where Marino just left everybody's jaw agape. 5,000 yards passing in 84, 48 touchdowns in just his second year. And people said, that can't happen. That is not how things are supposed to work. Ends up getting to a Super Bowl. Patrick Mahomes is in his second year, his first year really starting, and is now on the verge of going to a Super Bowl. And I see a lot of similarities because Marino's release was so fast at that time. His ability, his arm was so strong. He was doing things that it felt like he was just born with a football in his hand, and he just blew you away with a natural arm ability. Mahomes is doing the same thing this year. And every game that you watch, you go, how did he pull that one off? The sidearm flick last week around defenders, Matrix style, hitting Travis Kelce in stride, running out of bounds against the Ravens late in the season on fourth down and throwing it 20 yards downfield, 30 yards downfield to convert. The throws he made against the Patriots defense way back earlier in the season to lead them back to tie in the game late before the Patriots would surge ahead and win on the final possession by a field goal. The throws he made in that epic clash against the Rams in prime time, where you said, how is he doing this? I think there's so much to look at Mahomes and just say, this is incredible. How is this happening? This is not supposed to happen. He's throwing no-look passes at the starting quarterback in the NFL. He's throwing left-handed passes as a right-handed quarterback in the NFL. But the question is, the biggest test is today. Can Patrick Mahomes, after this incredible season, solve a Bill Belichick defense?
I think he's a great player on a great team that's very well coached. They have a great scheme and a great system. He's got a ton of weapons, so it'll be tough to handle, as will their entire offense, as will their entire team. So we'll need our best game. We'll need our best effort, and that's what we're preparing to give.
I think that Patrick Mahomes has two things really going for him today in this matchup. Number one, is that this is being played at Arrowhead Stadium. Quarterbacks have traditionally played very poorly at Gillette Stadium in the postseason for whatever reason. It's just a much tougher place to play on the road than a lot of these young quarterbacks have ever faced. And when you go in there, rarely, if ever, do you win. Now, Mark Sanchez did in 2010. Joe Flacco did a couple of years later. But what do those two teams have in common? Smash-mouth defenses that didn't need the quarterback to make all the throws. Mahomes is much different. As Mahomes goes, so does the Chiefs. But by playing at home, it's a lot different than playing at Gillette Stadium. The Patriots don't play nearly as well on the road as we've seen this season. They've looked like dreck most of the season going on the road. And then also, number two, they have played one another this season. And I think that is so huge for this Chiefs team. It reminds me of the New York Giants in 2007, where they played the Patriots, the undefeated Patriots, in Week 17 of the year. And remember, that season, the Patriots ended up winning in Week 17, but the Giants came out of that game saying, we can play with these guys. We know we can play with these guys. And they end up playing in the Super Bowl, and the Giants end up pulling off one of the greatest upsets in NFL history. Well, the Chiefs lost that game 43-40, but at one point in time, Mahomes had led his squad all the way back to 40-40 with 3 minutes to play after a 75-yard touchdown strike to Tyreek Hill. At one point in this game, it was 24-9 Patriots. At another point, it was 37-33, and the Chiefs just kept coming back. And I think that will do a lot for the confidence of Mahomes today against Belichick's defense, and I think the Chiefs in general. And Andy Reid has scored 40 points or more against the Patriots three different times. Belichick's only given up seven of those all time. Seven times a team has scored 40 points against Belichick. Andy Reid's got three of them. in the NFC Championship game. May I ask the question? When's the last time we saw the Saints put together 60 really good minutes in a crucial game?
You know, the subject yesterday was us starting faster, and obviously that's something that's important. Just as important is playing well coming out.
Sean Payton did not come out with his best stuff last week. Neither did Drew Brees. And Nick Foles took a 14-0 lead in that game. And then the Saints rattled off the next 20 points. But the Saints offense didn't look like the Saints offense is supposed to look. And down the stretch, maybe really since they were punched in the mouth by the Cowboys right after Thanksgiving, 13-10, you never really felt like this offense got completely on track. They lost that day to the Cowboys. They beat a terrible Buccaneers team. They beat the Panthers 12-9. They beat the Steelers on that back-and-forth game that essentially eliminated the Steelers from the playoffs. But then they lost Week 17 when they rested everybody. And remember, last year in the divisional round against the Vikings, they fell behind by 17 points before Drew Brees rallied them back in the second half, only to lose on the Minneapolis Miracle. We have not seen the Saints put up 60 great minutes of football in a crucial spot in a while, and I wonder why that is. I will tell you this today. If they do what they did last week, they will lose. If they allow the opposing team to jump up by 14 points, the Rams won't let you off the mat, the same way that the Eagles did. And if you fall behind by 17 points like you did against the Vikings last year in the NFC Divisional round, you will lose because the Rams won't let you off the mat like that happened last year. They'll be able to run the football, the Rams. They'll be able to hold clock, and they'll be able to win that football game. They're not going to let that happen. So I think the Saints are on very thin ice here. They must play their best 60 minutes from start to finish to get to a Super Bowl today and not just assume that, oh, we'll have a good second half at us. You can't assume that today. You've got a much better opponent. And finally, I know it's been 7 days, and I know it's kind of in the rear view, but I couldn't believe the apologizing I heard this week for Philip Rivers after another disaster performance in a big spot.
There was never a lack of composure. I think sometimes my demonstrative movements may look that way, but I was as poised as could be the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah, it certainly looked like it, Phil. You know, when you're throwing your hands up in the air, when you're yelling at officials, when you're spending an entire defensive series arguing with the refs, you totally seem like completely composed. I find the Philip Rivers apologize crew, the Philip Rivers apology tour, to be hysterical. I mean, last week, how were the Chargers going to stick around with the Patriots? They're going to have to play good defense, and Philip Rivers is going to have to make plays that most quarterbacks don't on the road at Gillette, right? Like we were just talking about with Patrick Mahomes. And what happened? The defense was awful, and Philip Rivers, who has been there for 14 years and made a billion Pro Bowls, and people want to put him in the Hall of Fame, has his worst half of the entire year, one of his worst halves ever. Just so happened, at the absolute crucial point in time, not only is Philip Rivers awful, but he's also fighting with the refs. So the rest of his team is looking at this saying, well, we've got no shot. We're done. We're toast. We're fighting with the refs. It's the second quarter. I mean, and then to say, well, Mahomes fought his butt off. Once they finally started putting up points, the game was over. This was a 35-7 lead. 35-7, the game was over. And then finally the offense started doing things in the second half because the Patriots said, we'll just play prevent defense and let them go up and down the field and just take all the time off the clock that they want. Every time Philip Rivers has a chance to move his team into the next level, he loses. He loses. His playoff wins over the last decade are against Lamar Jackson in the wild card round when Lamar had negative passing yards going into the third quarter, which, by the way, as we all saw, they settled for field goals time and time again in the red zone, and that could have come back to bite the Ravens or the Chargers had the Ravens been able to move the football. And against Andy Dalton in Cincinnati, he hasn't had a quarterback win against a legitimate quarterback in more than a decade. I mean, every time Philip Rivers has a chance to really do something great, he does that. And I don't want to hear the apologies. From his quarterback class, he is so obviously number three Roethlisberger, Eli, and Phillip Rivers. And he's had a very nice career. He's been a very steady part of that organization for a long time. And he hasn't always had great coaching or surrounding parts around him. But you can't keep making excuses for an entire career of playing poorly in big games, which he did again last week in Gillette. 855-212-4CBS. And before I hear anybody say, well, he's been surrounded by terrible teams, they went 12-4 this year and went to a Patriots team that was clearly the worst version of itself in a decade. They had a better regular season than the Patriots, and they fell behind 35-7. I mean, come on. By halftime! By halftime! All right, when we come back here on the show, Rodney Harrison will weigh in on today's NFC and AFC championship matchups. DA, Sunday Morning Football, CBS Sports Radio.
Check your local listings for the game and time in your area. You'll say, you saw it on CBS Sports.
It's Sunday Morning Football with DA.
Joining us here on the show, one of the best safeties of his generation. Watch him every Sunday night as part of Football Night in America and Sunday Night Football. Former Charger great, former Patriot great. Rodney Harrison joining us this morning here on the show. Rodney, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you, sir?
Doing great, bud. Thanks so much for joining us, man. I appreciate the time. And we were just discussing the New Orleans Saints. Can you put a finger on why the Saints offense has not been as explosive the last month plus as we saw in the early goings of the year?
I can't. It's very difficult to see. I just think that, you know, a lot of times when you have young players, they're trying to figure out where to go, how long the season is, and that's the problem. You know, we looked at the New England Patriots and see them struggle in the last couple of weeks. They had an opportunity to kind of rest and revamp themselves, but this is a team that's experienced. They have a lot of experienced veterans. They have a lot of guys that have been in playoff situations, and I don't get it with the Saints. They just seem like they're a step off.
Is Sean Payton the gutsiest coach left out of the Final Four?
You know, this is something that he's been, I mean, this is a trend with all the, coaches we see being aggressive, Matt Nagy and Doug Peterson and all those guys. But Sean Payton, I mean, he has a lot of confidence in his offense, and he should. He's got a lot of weapons. They do a great job of spreading the ball around. I think having Ted Ginn Jr. back, I think that's huge for him. But obviously, man, Michael Thomas, how do you not double-team him and take him out the game? If you're the defense, it's just inexplicable to me. Just like, you know, you have an opportunity to take away the one guy that can hurt you, and yet he has the biggest game of all the receivers.
Rodney Harrison joins us here on the show. If you're the Eagles, do you think it's an easy decision to let go of Nick Foles after that, or do you think there's part of them that is wondering, boy, do we really let this guy go in the offseason?
I don't think it's ever an easy decision when you're letting a really good player go. The way he's kind of the belief that he's put in this team and the type of character that he has. When you lose a guy like Nick Foles, it's not just his playmaking ability, but it's the leadership, it's everything that he stands for. These guys believe in him. And I don't think it's an easy choice, but I think the most logical choice is, hey, we're going to commit to Carson Wentz, and we're going to trade Nick Foles away, hopefully get a number one and number two pick, and continue to build this team. This team is still a very good team. I think they do have to address the running game. They have to find a way, either a running back, to get more consistent, to take a little pressure off of Carson Wentz.
Patriots were incredible. Once again, the ruthless efficiency that they play with at home. And yet we haven't really seen that on the road. That's been kind of the tale of two seasons for the Patriots. Yeah. Can you explain why they are so dominant in Foxborough and then they don't look that way away from
them? No, I can't explain that. You know, it's hard to explain that, you know, when you're not in that locker room. I think, you know, at times they have a level of complacency. When you've had that level of success, you know, and you know, my old school teams, we prepared so hard to be able to go on a road and to be able to go into hostile environments and beat teams, whether it was in the regular season, whether it was in the postseason, whatever it took, you know, it's just a level of preparation and concentration. Those guys proved when they beat the Los Angeles Chargers that they can compete with anybody. And it's funny, we kind of discount how good they are because Rob hasn't looked great. Gronk. Tom Brady hasn't looked great. Edelman looks a little different. But you give those guys a couple weeks of rest and, you know, and Belichick, the ability to prepare, I mean, he can compete with anyone.
For Patrick Mahomes, it's going to be a tall test. What have you seen from Patrick Mahomes this season that we don't often see, maybe ever see, from a quarterback of his inexperience?
Well, I mean, just he's unfazed by mistakes. You know, I can say he's truly unfazed. Like, you look at all the quarterbacks, and when they make mistakes, they get upset, and even veteran quarterbacks, sometimes it sticks with them, and they lose their confidence. This kid, not him. It fires him up. If he makes a mistake, it just ticks him off to the point where he wants to come back and make two or three more plays in order to replace it. And I love that. I love that about him. I've never had a chance until this Saturday to watch him up close and personal and just to see how tall he is. I thought he was like 6'1". It was really neat seeing how big he was and just how mature and how just kind of, for me personally, I can tell a lot about a young quarterback the way that they deal with the media and just how humble this kid is and how complimentary he is to his teammates has just been phenomenal. That's the thing that has impressed me about him.
You played against young quarterbacks that were ascending and you were a veteran safety on a veteran defense. When in the playoffs that happens, what do the Patriots defense look for, tell signs to try to maybe discombobulate a young guy like Mahomes that hasn't been in big spots very often like this?
I think the big picture for the Patriots is, hey, you know what? We have to stay patient defensively. They're really good. We can't get upset or down. They're going to make plays. When you understand that you're playing against a great offense and they're going to have the ability to make plays, but some of those things that, you know, you want to eliminate, like the big plays to Tyreek Hill. You don't want to give him a 60, 70-yard bomb. So Coach Belichick is saying, hey, keep everything in front of him. When he's at the line of scrimmage, you're going to jam him and slow him down. Don't allow him a free release. Travis Kelce in the red zone, they're going to double-team him, take him away. They're going to force the young quarterback to try to stay in the pocket because once he gets outside the pocket, he's a dynamic. He's even more dangerous, kind of like Aaron Rodgers. It's little simple things like that. The Patriots understand they're not going to stop this kid. He's going to make some plays. They're going to gain some yards. They're going to put up some stats. But ultimately, he wants to be tough in the red zone, and he doesn't want to give up those big plays and double-team the guys according to the situation.
Rodney Harrison, former Pro Bowler, former All-Pro, former champion, joining us here from Football Night in America and Sunday Night Football on NBC. Rodney, it's really good to catch up, man. Thanks so much for doing it for us today.
Man, it was my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You got it, Rodney Harrison. Drop it on by. Sunday Morning Football, CBS Sports Radio. Damon Amendolara with you. Again, here's your slate for today. Rams and Saints from New Orleans. NFC Championship game is first. It's a 3:05 Eastern kick on Fox. Your late kick from Arrowhead Stadium is on CBS. Patriots and Chiefs at 6:40 Eastern time from Kansas City. When we come back here on the show, we've got your insiders, Pro Bowl, I should say, multi-time Pro Bowl and Hall of Fame quarterback Dan Fouts weighs in on Breeze versus Goff. We've also got nose tackle Derek Nnadi of the Kansas City Chiefs on what it will take to slow down Tom Brady today. And Evan Washburn is going to be on the sidelines working the Chiefs and Patriots game. We'll ask him about the two coaches in the AFC. That plus your football forecast is coming up here next. This is Sunday Morning Football on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Television Sports presents the National Football League.
You're locked in to Sunday Morning Football on CBS Sports Radio with your host, D.A. We ask those who are in the game for their thoughts on the game.
Congratulations, man. That's all.
It's time for The Insiders.
And our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to GEICO. Go to GEICO.com. 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Glad you're with us. AFC-NFC Championship Sunday. CBS Sports Radio with you, carrying you through on Sunday Morning Football up until today's kickoffs. And Dan Fouts joined me this week, Pro Football Hall of Famer. He has played in a championship game before. Now, his history was rough with it. You might remember the 1981 NFL playoffs where there was the epic in Miami, the Kellen Winslow game, if you will. Sultry, sweaty, disgusting Miami. They won that game, exhausted, end up going to the AFC Championship game, and followed up a sultry night in Miami with the coldest game ever, the 59 below wind chill freezer bowl at a Riverfront Stadium in Cincinnati. Bengals would go on to win that AFC Championship game. Dan Fouts unable to really throw the football very well. The offense could never get on track for the Chargers, and that was his best chance at going to a Super Bowl. So how does he see, though, the playoff matchup on the NFC side of things, specifically between the two quarterbacks, Drew Brees and Jared Goff, today?
I got to admit, I like them both. I mean, what's not to like about both offenses? So, you know, the Rams game, I thought last week, really they sent a message to the Saints and probably the entire league with the way they ran the ball, that with C.J. Anderson taking a lot of the load off of Todd Gurley, it just having two guys over 100 yards rushing against that Dallas defense, that was really eye-opening.
Yeah, and I wonder, do you think that ends up being a key for Sunday's game? Do the Rams have to be able to run the football to win this game?
No question, especially on the road in the Superdome, where if you can just keep pounding the ball behind that offensive line as they did against Dallas, that'll take that great crowd out of the game somewhat. And that's important because it's a very unique, loud crowd, as it is in Kansas City, too. But inside a dome, it can get even worse.
I think it really helps out the Rams that they played at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome earlier this season. I think it really, really helps them out because, remember, early in the year, they fell behind by a wide margin in that game, and it took all of their energy, the Rams, to come back and tie that thing up. And then at the end, it was a couple of drives offensively that kind of put the nail in the coffin. And the Rams will tell you, we had a lot of energy to come back in that game, but we just needed a little bit more. And it took everything out of us just to finally tie things up. I think today, by running the football, they avoid that. They avoid digging themselves too deep a hole. That was the Rams' first loss of the season this year when they went down to New Orleans and lost 45-35. I think what you'll see today, by virtue of being able to run the football, and I think they will be able to run the football, by virtue of that, they won't find themselves deep in some type of hole, and so thus better suited to deal with the noise, to deal with the comeback, to deal with trying to get a score when it was necessary. They fell behind in that game 35-17, you might remember, by the end of the half. In fact, it was 35-14 right before the half, but they kept chipping away until it was tie game early in the fourth quarter before a couple of late touchdowns. Well, a late touchdown and a late field goal ended up making it a 10-point Saints win. But running the football will be absolutely crucial for the Rams. If they can't do it, they will lose. If they can do it, they give themselves a very good chance at winning. And as we mentioned before, the Saints offense just hasn't looked like. In that game, they put up 45 points. They've not looked like that really since the Cowboys game in late November. Can they get back to scoring that many times? What will Aaron Donald's presence mean in the interior for the Rams? Will they be able to get to Drew Brees? All major question marks for the Rams, but they are absolutely better suited this time around than earlier in the season when they lost 45-35. Derek Nnadi is a young nose tackle for the Kansas City Chiefs. He's a rookie, and he started the year as a backup, began getting more and more playing time, and midway through the year became a starter. And Nnadi's been a very important part of that pass rush for the Chiefs. Defensive line-wise, you saw it last week when they were able to tee off on Andrew Luck, it meant the world difference. And that's going to be a huge part of today's game. When the Chiefs have been able to build an early lead, it forces the opponent into having to get into obvious passing situations. And then Justin Houston, Dee Ford and company can just turn on the jets. And last week, they harassed Andrew Luck and really created a turnover that changed the pivot point of the game because the Chiefs had turned the football over themselves deep in their own territory. It set up a beautiful opportunity for the Colts to capitalize from the red zone, and immediately it was a sack, a strip sack, a fumble, and a recovery by the Chiefs defense. Today, that pass rush is of the utmost importance. There is no way to stress this enough. The only way the Chiefs will be able to beat the Patriots today is a pass rush. It's the only way. If you allow Tom Brady to sit back there untouched the same way that the Chargers did last week, you will lose. There is no doubt in my mind you will lose. But the Chiefs have that defensive pass rush to get there, especially at home. I asked the young Derek Nnadi, what's the challenges of facing a future Hall of Famer and Tom Brady in this matchup?
I have absolute respect for him. And he's been in the game for so long. He reads, studies pretty much everything that's been going on in every game. and he'll make every single check against everything. So with him, you got to be on your P's and Q's 100%. Because with him, he, the second he sees something that's a little off, he's going to read on, he's going to read it, and he's going to change up a play just to make sure he beats that and just make it look kind of ridiculous.
Nadi couldn't be more right. The moment that you make a mistake on him or you let him have a free pocket, a clean pocket, he's going to just surgically kill you. And I look at the Patriots this year and wonder what it was about going on the road where they could not give Tom Brady a clean pocket. When you look at their 3-5 record on the road this year, it is jarring. Not only for them to be sub-500 on the road, but the way that they lost these games. It began when they got punched in the mouth by the Jaguars early in the season, when we still thought the Jaguars were an AFC championship caliber team like last year. The Jaguars won by double digits and really beat up Brady. The next week, the Patriots lost again in Detroit to the Lions. Matt Patricia had a bad rookie season as head coach. His best moment was, again, the Lions beating up Tom Brady. They went to Chicago early in the year. It was their best road win. But remember, they allowed the Bears to score 31 points on them. They won 38-31, and Mitch Trubisky completed a Hail Mary in that game at the end that came up 1 yard short of going to overtime. Later, they lost at Tennessee, and again, the Titans just demolished Tom Brady. They really roughed him up, and they won 34-10. The Patriots lost by 24 points on the road in Tennessee to a non-playoff team. They then had that terrible end-of-game play with Gronk trying to play the guy stopping the Hail Mary against the Dolphins and lost on that fluky, crazy play. And then they lost against the Pittsburgh Steelers, again, a non-playoff team. But the Steelers ended up really dominating that game throughout, even though it was only a 7-point win. The Steelers outplayed the Patriots for the entire game. And Brady threw a red zone interception, which we never see. Brady was terrible on those final three throws that could have tied up the ball game. I mean, the only two convincing wins on the road the Patriots had were at the Bills and at the Jets. The Jets fire their head coach and have a rookie quarterback. And the Bills, again, a rookie quarterback and a last-place team. So I can't explain why the Patriots were this bad away from Gillette Stadium, but the fact is they have been unable to protect Tom Brady when they have gone on the road this year. And Houston and Ford and Nadi and the rest of those guys, if they're able to do what so many teams have been able to do this year, which is really collapse the pocket and make things difficult on Brady when he's played away from Gillette, that's the crucial part of today's game. People can talk about Mahomes and Andy Reid and the offense and Tyreek Hill, but it comes down to whether or not you're going to be able to make Tom Brady uncomfortable. And essentially every decent team that he has played this year away from Gillette did that. Dominated the line of scrimmage. That's why you'll see the Patriots run a lot today to try to keep the Wolves off of Brady. They will try to really establish the run. And finally, Evan Washburn's going to be handling sideline duties for the NFL on CBS today. He and Tracy Wolfson will double-team the sideline coverage from the AFC Championship game. And he's covered these two coaches before. Belichick, Andy Reid, similar or totally different?
I think there's a lot of similarities on both fronts with both. So I would push back a little bit on the Belichick not being a guy you'd want to sit at a bar with and have a beer. Look, I think it's been well documented that the way that he approaches the media and things when it comes to his organization and strategy and all those things is his method. But people I trust say that when you catch him in the right moments and away from the field, and I've had small windows of this, he is as interesting and personable a guy as you'll find. And conversely, I agree. I think Andy Reid would fall into the category of somebody you'd like to sit down and have some wings with and have a few beers and talk football. I just think it's so much is how you package it as a head coach. And a lot of the times, it's funny, I spend a whole season and months on months just listening to press conferences, going to production meetings. And look, there's a value to it, but it can drive you a little nuts because they're all saying around the same thing. It's just how they package it.
What's amazing to me is that Bill Belichick is the greatest head coach of his generation, one of the greatest ever, and his coaching tree is a disaster. I mean, everybody that has come out of his coaching tree has been a terrible head coach. And maybe you'd say that Bill O'Brien's not a terrible head coach, but Bill O'Brien also is not necessarily a Belichick disciple. He coached under Belichick for a couple of years as OC, but really cut his teeth many other places. Meantime, Andy Reid's disciples have won Super Bowls. John Harbaugh and Doug Peterson. But also go down the list. Look how good Matt Nagy is right now. You know, you had Brad Childress as the head coach of the Vikings who was in an NFC championship game. You have a lot of guys that have come under Brady, or come under Reid rather, that ended up being great head coaches, whereas the complete opposite for Bill Belichick, which is really very confusing. Let's get to your football forecast, boys and girls.
CBS Weather Watch, our forecast with your personal touch.
It's DA's football forecast.
In New Orleans, controlled conditions inside the dome, but an 85% chance you will hear the broadcast all over the road of CJ Anderson. Believe you me, you will hear multiple times today that the Rams running back was released twice this season. You will be reminded that he never got any carries in Carolina before he was cut in November. And then you'll be reminded just how great he has been with the Rams. They will say he was on the street. He wasn't on the street. He had a house over his head. He was not homeless. I always love that phrase. Guy was on the street. They picked him up. No, he wasn't warming his hands around a bonfire, okay? He's had a nice NFL career. He has a house. He's actually doing quite well, thank you. Picked him up off the street like they were just driving around. He was outside of Whataburger. Hey, we need a running back. Who are you? You kind of look like maybe you could run the football. I happen to have won a Super Bowl. Yes, I actually do that professionally. And also in Kansas City, temperatures in the low 20s, high teens, not nearly as frigid as we thought, although that's not warm, with a 100% chance of the Robert Kraft sweet shot if the Patriots win. I believe that CBS is contractually obligated to show Robert Kraft at the end of all wins. I don't know why this always happens, but every single Patriots game, if the Patriots are winning, it's like, okay, quick cut to Jonathan and Robert. They're going to be on their phones. They'll be acting like they're doing something. They're busy or something, but you have to get a shot of them. Make sure you weave this in early fourth quarter. Okay, flash the graphic of Patriots record before the team was purchased. Now flash the graphic of Patriots team record after it was purchased. Okay, how many rings? Show the banners now. Show the banners at Gillette. Okay, now cut away. You know that is happening today. If the Patriots end up with a lead late in this game, that's your football forecast. Let me give you one interesting little anecdote here about the NFC Championship game. Since 01, so about 18 years, when the number one and number two seeds, the top two seeds have matched up, it has happened eight times. Today will be the ninth. Eight times, the over has either gone over or pushed. Seven of the eight times, it's gone over the total number. In other words, what Vegas thinks the total points scored in these NFC Championship games have been, it has been more than that. So expect point scoring today. Expect an offensive day in New Orleans between Los Angeles and the Saints. That will do it for us this morning here on Sunday Morning Football. Thanks to Tom DiBenedetto on the executive producing duties. Thanks to Anthony Pierno on the Wheels of Steel and Sam Rubinoff on yourwatchda.com. And one more win takes it all for Atlanta. Intuit TurboTax Live kicks off the NFL today, powered by Ram Trucks at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific, only on CBS for the AFC Championship game. Enjoy football today, everybody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.